Thank you, Brother Warren. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Since God has given me the responsibility of being the first one to speak at this reunion, I want to welcome each of you here on behalf of the General Bishopric and all the local churches in Missouri who sponsors this gathering, as well as our Brother Surratt, who is a missionary in charge of this district. I also want to remind you of the miracle that you are experiencing. Maybe you already know. But in case you don't, it's by the grace of God and His miracles that we're here this morning, each of us. I appreciate it so much, comments in our prayer meeting this morning, of the miracle that happened in Brother Yates' behalf and those with him, that they were able to be here. And it brought back to my memory many of the things that happened that brought this occasion about. And I thrill to the depths of my soul to see each of you here. Each step of the way in this process of this building was prepared and provided for by God. And many times the problem or complication or whatever might have been standing in the way would be cleared away just at the last minute. And we was quite aware that it was not anything that we did. The bishops or the construction people or anybody else. It was nothing that we did to clear it away. But God took it away. And as you go through the dinner line and partake of your meal today, that too is a miracle. We did not get our permit till yesterday. And we started working on it in February. And about Monday, I told my wife, it'll be a miracle. If we're able to use the kitchen this year. We have a miracle. Our God is a God of miracles. And one who is mighty to hear and to answer prayers. I have chosen for a reading this morning, some of the fifth chapter of Alma. Third chapter of Alma. And I may probably refer back to that chapter many times throughout the morning, if the Lord is willing. But I'd like to read two verses first, the 57th and the 58th verses. And here is speaking of God. And behold, He sendeth an invitation to all men. For the arms of mercy are extended towards them, and He saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, He cometh, yea, He saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life, and ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the water of life freely. And again in the 105th verse, and now I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call after you. And if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold, and ye are his sheep. And he commandeth that ye should suffer no ravenous wolves to enter in among you, that ye may not be destroyed. And now I, Alma, doth command you in the language of him who hath commanded me, that ye observe to do the words which I have spoken unto you. I speak by way of commandment unto you that belong to the church. And to those who do not belong to the church, I speak by the way of invitation, saying, come and be baptized into repentance, and ye shall be partakers of the fruit of the tree of life. An invitation that God has given to all men, regardless, of race, As it's written to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In the Book of Mormon it says, to black and white. To all men. I think we recognize the words there. To be partakers of the fruit of the tree of life. As Alma referring back to the second chapter of the first book of Nephi. The 49th verse. Lehi says, and it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was the most sweet above all that I'd ever tasted. Yea, I beheld that the fruit thereof was so was white to exceed all the whiteness that I've ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. In the third chapter, he tells us what that fruit is. The third chapter in the 68th verse. Beginning there to the 69th. And it came to pass that I beheld a rod of iron, and that was also something I've seen in that vision of Lehi and Nephi, which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living water,
or
the tree of life, which was a representation of the love of God. I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. I think it's quite significant as to how Nephi came to that understanding that that tree that he saw and his father partook of and he took partook of also was a tree of life. And I want to read that to you because it does something to me. To realize what it was that made him understand what that fruit was. Just going back a few verses to the 46th verse there in the third chapter. Came to pass that the Spirit said unto me, Look, and I looked and beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen. The beauty of there was far beyond, yea, exceeding all the beauty of the whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of driven snow. Came to pass that after I had seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, I behold that thou hast shown unto me the tree which is precious above all. He said to me, What desirest thou? And I said unto him, To know the interpretation thereof. Now remember, he didn't just up and tell him what it was. He showed him something that made him know. For I spake unto him as a man speaketh, for I beheld that he was in the form of a man, yet nevertheless I know that it was the Spirit of the Lord. And he spake unto me as a man speaketh another. Came past and said unto me, Look, and I looked, and as I looked upon him, I saw him not, for he was gone from my presence. It came to pass, I looked and beheld the great city of Jerusalem and all other cities, and beheld the city of Nazareth. And in the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin. And she is sitting fair and white. And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and the angels came down and stood before me and said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I said unto him, A virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. And he said to me, Knowest thou the condensations of God? And I said to him, I know that he loved his children. Nevertheless, I did not know the meaning of all things. He said to me, Behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God, after the manner of the flesh. And after she had been carried away in the Spirit for the space of a time, the angel spake unto me, saying, Look. I looked and beheld the virgin again, bearing a child. In her arms. And the angel said unto me, Behold the Lamb of God. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which my father
saw? Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which my father saw?
Excuse me, thy father saw.
Excuse me, thy father
answered
saw.
And said unto him, saying, yea, it is the love of God,
yea,
which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men, wherefore is most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, the most joyous unto the soul. And after he had said these words, he said unto me, look, and looked and beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And many fell down at his feet and worshipped him. When Nephi saw, what God had done or would do,
for mankind,
and sending his son,
he knew what that tree was.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Lest you miss my point this morning.
It is this.
Don't forget.
What God has done for us.
For all mankind. Because if time permits, I will read to you this morning some that did forget. And the consequences. We do not find this only in the Book of Mormon. It's worded a little bit different in John. It says the same thing. This lady was not so permitted as Nephi. She was not even of the house of Israel. The Samaritan lady at the well. In the fourth chapter and the sixth verse. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied from his journeys, sat thus on the well as it was about the sixth hour. There came with a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saying to her, give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the waters which I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And we know the story how she said she would. I'll go ahead and read in the 15th verse. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. And she said, well, you know, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had, what was it, six? And the one you've got now is not your husband? And he went on to say, woman, believe me, the hour is cometh when ye shall. I probably skipped some things there I shouldn't have. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that what He said? I will give you living water. The words which He spake, the rod of iron,
and the gift that
of Himself unto the world, was that joy that's so unspeakable. Sometimes I fear that we who have grown up in the church, are not quite aware
of
this great gift.
As those who were converted or come in later in life.
A new experience. In Alma, going back to that third chapter again, as I said I would return to many times, let's clear back to the seventh verse. It got away. Alma here is telling of the experience of his father. And when the gospel was brought into that land by Abinadi to King Noah, Alma was there.
The father of the man who wrote this writing.
And he believed. And we were brought into this land, and here we begin to establish the church of God throughout this land also. And I behold, I say unto you, my brethren, that ye belong to this church. Have you sufficiently retained remembrance of the captivity of your fathers? Yea, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance his mercy and his long suffering towards them? And moreover, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance that he has delivered their souls from hell? Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awakened them from thy deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls was illuminated by the light of the everlasting word. Yea, they were encircled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell, and an everlasting destruction did await them. And now I ask you, my brethren, were they destroyed? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken, and the chains of hell which encircled them about, were they loosed? And I say unto you, yea, they were loosed, and the souls were expanded, and they did sing redeeming love. And I say unto you, they were saved. And I ask of you, on what condition are they saved? Yea, what grounds had they to hope for salvation? And what is the cause of their being loosed from the bands of death, and yea, also from the chains of hell? Behold, I tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? Did he not speak of the words of God, and my father Alma believed him? According to his faith was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. They humbled themselves and put their trust in that true and living God. And behold, they were faithful unto the end, therefore they were saved. Alma told here of the change in the heart that took place not only in his father, but those who he preached to. And we know how they went out into the wilderness because of the... Their concerns for persecution from King Noah, that he would not allow these things. They went out in the wilderness by what was called the waters of Mormon. And there they began the church, and they were baptized.
They began the church.
He mentioned there in our reading the captivity of the fathers.
He mentioned there in our reading the captivity
and
of the fathers.
That there was times when they were taken in captivity by the Lamanites.
They were taken in captivity.
And God delivered them.
And God
That's what he's
them.
Speaking of. That's he really delivered them from bondage.
He really delivered them from bondage.
The word of God that came to them through the
word of God that came to them
preaching of and prophesying of Abinadi
preaching of
delivered them from a greater bondage than that even.
Delivered them from a greater bondage
than that. The chains of hell and death.
The chains of hell.
They were delivered.
Death.
And salvation was given unto them.
And salvation was given unto them.
We who have grown up in the church,
we who have grown
and
up
taken upon
church,
us the name of our Savior Jesus Christ,
taken upon us the name of our Savior Jesus
that
Christ,
that same change was made in us.
That same change was made in us.
Perhaps it was not as such a great need,
perhaps it was not
or a great change,
a great
as
need,
in some of these, like Alma,
in some of these,
or in some that I have experienced just recently.
Or in some that I have experienced just recently.
That took upon them the name of Christ.
That took upon them the name of Christ.
And they testify of the joy that fills their hearts.
The joy that fills their hearts.
Because they realize the difference between what they were and what they are now.
Between what they were and what they are now.
And as one just said the other night in our midst here.
And as one just said the other night in our midst here.
I hope that joy never leaves.
I hope that joy never leaves.
And it won't.
And it won't.
If he is faithful unto the end.
If he is faithful unto the end.
Going over to the 46th verse.
Going over to the 46th verse.
And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change in your heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask,
redeeming love,
can you feel so now?
Can you feel so now?
Have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God?
Have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God?
Could you say if you were called up to die at this time within yourself that ye have been sufficiently humbled?
That
your karmas have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ? Who will come to redeem his people from their sins?
Who will come to redeem his people from their sins?
Behold, are ye stripped of pride?
Behold, are ye stripped of pride?
I say unto you, if ye are not, you're not prepared to meet God. Behold, you must be prepared quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say unto you that one among you who is not stripped, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such an one is not prepared, and I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not.
For the time shall come,
such an one is not found guiltless.
Such an one.
And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth not doth make a mock of his brother, or heaped upon him persecutions? Woe unto such a one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand when he must repent, or he cannot be saved.
Even
woe unto ye workers of iniquity, repent. Repent, for the God has spoken it.
Repent, for the God has spoken it.
And then the first verse I read, behold, he sendeth an invitation to all men.
Behold, he sendeth an invitation.
For the arms of mercy extended towards them, and he saith unto them, repent, and I will receive you.
Repent, and I will receive you.
Alma was talking there to the people of the church. And he was reminding them, if you have experienced that change in your heart, can you say so now that that change is still there? Satan is very clever. And he can steal away that joy just a little at a time.
That joy just
till we hardly realize it's gone or leaving.
Hardly realize it's gone or leaving.
And so I would like this morning, if it's possible, to awaken us to the dangers that are there. We might turn to Helaman. And to me here, there's a great lesson to be learned. Starting with the 89th verse. Helaman here, I believe it's Samuel the Lamanite. Who came to warn the Nephites of the coming of Christ.
About 6 B.C.
Yea, woe unto this people, who are called the people of Nephi, except they shall repent when they shall see all these signs and wonders which shall be showed unto them. And he had told them about the coming of Christ and the sign that would be given when he was born of 3 days of light, no darkness. For behold, they have been a chosen people unto the Lord. Yea, the people of Nephi hath he loved, and also hath he chastened them. Yea, in the days of their iniquities hath he chastened them, because he loveth them. But behold, my brethren, the Lamanites hath he hated, because of their deeds which have been evil continually, and this because of the iniquity of the traditions of their fathers. But behold, salvation hath come unto them through the preaching of the Nephites, and for this intent hath the Lord prolonged their days. And I would that ye should behold that the more part of them are in the path of their duty, and they do walk circumspectly before God, and they do observe to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments according to the law of Moses. Remember, I said it was 6 B.C., and so they were still keeping the law of Moses. But they nevertheless, they were looking forward to Jesus. Yea, I say unto you that the more part of them were doing this, and they were striving with unwearying diligence, that they may bring the remainder of their brethren to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore there were many who did add to their numbers daily. And behold, ye do know of yourselves that ye have witnessed it, that as many of them that as were brought to knowledge of the truth, and to know the wickedness and abomination of the traditions of their fathers, and were led to believe in the Holy Scriptures, yea, the prophecies of the holy prophets, which are written, which leadeth them to the faith on the Lord, and to repentance, which faith and repentance bringeth a change in the hearts of unto them. Therefore, as many as have come to this, ye know of yourselves, are firm and steadfast in the faith, in the things wherein they are have been made free. I think most of us know how it came about, the conversion of the Nephites. But let's remember for a moment. In the days of Messiah, King Messiah. He had three sons. And there was a son of Alma. And they were going about tearing down the church.
Just trying to destroy it.
And God, in his mercy,
struck young Alma down.
And he was blind for 3 days. And he bears a wonderful testimony, which we probably won't have time to get into this morning. Of the things he experienced in that time. And also of the joy that was his. When God in his mercy restored him again. But the outcome it was that he and the three sons of Messiah were convicted in their hearts
of their errors and their sins. And they dedicated themselves from that day forward
to be a service to God. To be a service to God.
And even though the sons of Messiah were in line to be king, they would have no part of it. They remembered their commitment. And they said, we want to go down among the Lamanites
and
convert them to God.
And
to show them traditions of their fathers,
to show them
and to tell them of Jesus Christ,
and to tell them they went. Jesus Christ, and they went.
One of them's name was Ammon. And there is much written about his experiences there. But he happened into a land there, in the land of the Lamanites, where there was a king by the name of Lamanite. And apparently it was quite evident that he was not a native among the people.
And he was
immediately captured and brought in. And accused of being there as a spy and there to do them harm.
Because
the Nephites, the Lamanites were enemies, remember. And he said, no, I'm not here to do you any harm. I'm here to be your servant. You know, God must have touched that king. That he did not stiffen his heart and condemn Ammon to death. Said, all right, you are my servant. Go out and join my other servants to take care of my sheep. And he went. And they went out and to water them at the well, and there was robbers came in to
Water them at the
scatter
well,
the flock.
There was robbers came in to scatter
just
the flock.
To cause havoc. They didn't want the sheep. They just wanted to cause havoc. Because they knew that if the sheep were scattered of the king, that he would put to death those servants who were supposed to be watching them. And these servants was watching the sheep was terrified because of what was happening. But Ammon called them together and gave them courage and said, gather up the sheep, bring them back in. And they did. And then he said, now you take care of the sheep and I will go take care of these robbers. So single-handed he went out and confronted them. And being alone, they were not afraid of him because there was many of them. And how many it doesn't say, but there was many of them. And so they began to have conflict. And he had a sling, Ammon did, and he slew several of them with his sling. And their rocks couldn't even hit Ammon. But why is another important thing. God had promised King Mosiah that he would protect his sons. No ill would befall them. And so they couldn't hit him. And when they couldn't hit him with the rocks, they came closer to try with a sword. And Ammon took his sword and cut off their arms. And it says he slew only one with a sword.
And
the rest of them he just cut off their arms. But the leader of the band, he slew him. And they fled. Then the servants gathered up their sheep and also all the arms that Ammon had cut off and carried them back to the king and took the sheep back to their corral. And the other servants went in to tell the king what had happened. And he was recounting this story of the thing that happened and showed him the arms as witness and testimony. And he said, where is this Ammon? He's out in the stable. Taking care of your horses.
He's out in the stable.
Because you told him you wanted to go make a journey, and he's getting your horses ready for your journey. Bring him here. So they brought him in, and Lamona talked to him for briefly and said, who are you? Are you that great spirit? He said, no. I'm not that great spirit. But he acknowledged that great spirit gave him the strength to do what he did.
But he acknowledged
that he was just a man.
That he was just
and it was
a man.
In the strength of the Lord that he was able to protect this
and
king's property.
The Lord that he was able to protect
and then he went on to expound to him all about this great spirit.
And then he went on to expound to him
the
all
God
about
of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
The God of Abraham
and of his son,
of Isaac,
Jesus Christ.
And, of his
and
son,
Lamona believed
Jesus
him.
Christ.
And he was so overcome by the joy that was his that he fell as though he
and
was
he
dead.
He was overcome by the joy that was his that he fell as though he was dead.
And over a period of time, it was something like 3 days.
And over a period of time,
the king called. Excuse me. The queen called Ammon in because
The queen called Ammon.
Her husband had been what they thought was dead for 3 days, and some thought he was stinking and they should be buried. And she didn't think he did, but she didn't want to do.
And
Ammon assured her that tomorrow on this time he will rise.
And
asked her if she believed that. She said, "Yes, I believe that."
And
he blessed her or gave her God's blessings because of believing. No, tomorrow, King Lamoni arose, and he spoke to the people with joy in his heart.
And he spoke to the people
because of the love of God.
Joy in his heart, because of the love.
And almost immediately, he fell as though dead again.
And almost.
And the queen also.
And the queen.
And Ammon as well. And then the people who gathered around. Blamed the king for letting
people
this Nephite come in and cause all these this havoc among them, and was ready to slay Ammon with a sword.
Ready to slay.
It just so happened that this one, this man, was a brother to the one that Ammon had slew out in the wilderness.
The one that Ammon had slew out in the wilderness.
Power and the love of God.
There was a woman named Abish came in about that time who was a
There was a woman named Abish came in about that time who was a Lamanite, but she had been converted to the Lord some time ago, but kept it a secret because of the consequences. And she told the people what was happening, what they had seen and what was going on. And she reached down and took the queen by the hand and raised her up. And she bore testimony of the love of God.
She raised up her husband. I remember right,
and also she raised up her husband, I remember right, the king, and Ammon.
From that point on, the gospel was spread in that people.
From that point on, the gospel was spread in that people.
And it said in one place that
they were converted.
The Holy Ghost and they knew it not.
And it said in one place they received the Holy Ghost and they knew it not.
They had a change in their
heart. But they was filled with that joy. And they had a change in their heart.
Samuel was telling them here.
And that's what Samuel was telling them here.
The gospel was carried to the Lamanites by the Nephites.
The gospel was carried to the Lamanites by the Nephites.
They had forgotten.
And now they had dwindled away. They had forgotten.
We dare not forget.
We dare not forget.
Of that joy that
we dare not forget. Of that joy that God has given unto us.
I think most of us are aware that.
I think most of us are aware that.
The Book of Mormon.
There is concern of the writers in the Book of Mormon for us.
Moroni said, I pray Moroni that
said,
God will give unto the Gentiles.
I pray charity. That God will give unto the Gentiles charity.
What did God tell him? That's not your problem.
What did God tell him?
He didn't promise him anything.
That's not your problem.
See, that's not your problem.
He didn't promise him anything.
You have written
See,
what I
not
have
your
commanded
problem.
You to write.
You have written what I have commanded you to write.
That word is their
and
problem.
What those Gentiles do with that word is their problem. If you might let me
and
use
so
my own words.
So it is our problem this morning. We have
so it is our problem this morning.
Not
we have a great responsibility.
To the Lamanites,
not only of carrying this gospel to the Lamanites.
Make sure that we don't forget.
But to make sure that we don't forget.
That change
that we keep in remembrance that change that God wrought in our hearts.
And pray that that joy would never, never leave us.
And pray that that joy would never, never leave us.
You know, Thanksgiving
is part of the gospel.
And giving him
praising
the
Lord. And giving him the credit
for what we have.
For what we have.
As Elmer wrote, is there one among you that
As
has
Elmer wrote,
pride or is not stripped of pride?
Is there one among you that has pride
if
or is not stripped
not
of pride?
God.
If there is, he's not prepared to meet
and
God.
And if I would stand and tell you that I have done so
And if
much,
I would stand and tell you
myself,
that I have done so much all by myself.
First of all, it'd be a lie.
First of all, it'd be a lie.
But it would be a sin because I did not give God the credit.
But it would be a sin because
Most
I did not give God the credit.
Story of
Most
Abel
of us
Gideon.
Remember the story, I believe it was Gideon, where he was sent out to defend the house of Israel.
Army.
And he had a fair-sized army.
He told him how to.
He was told, "You got too many."
And to keep just a few.
And he told him how to weed them out and to keep just a few. And it finally got down. I believe he only had 300 men to face an army of several thousand.
Because God told him,
"Why?"
I want you to know.
Because God told him, "I want you to know
not yours.
That the victory is mine, not yours.
The victory is God's." Not mine.
The victory is God's.
The victory is God's.
Not mine.
Not ours.
The victory is God's.
And we need to give thanks.
Not ours.
And retain
and we need to give thanks.
That joy.
And retain in remembrance that joy that he has given to us.
I'm not this morning standing to accuse.
And believe me, brothers and sisters, I'm not this morning standing to accuse us.
But I just want to remind
you find fault with us.
That are there.
But I just want to remind you of the dangers that are there.
Lest we forget. We dare
lest
not forget.
Lest we forget.
It is written.
We dare not forget.
To whom much is given.
It is written
much
that
is required.
To whom much is given, much is required.
And we have much.
And we have much.
We have much. No.
We have much.
Had a lot of problems.
We no,
have we
have had a lot of problems.
Long.
We have our sick. As we mentioned, the prayer list is long.
One of our sisters passed away just the first of this week.
One of our sisters passed away just the first of this week.
And I was told that
though she knew the end was drawing near.
She wasn't disturbed.
She wasn't disturbed.
Still, had a joy in her heart.
She still had a joy in her heart. And praise God.
Paul said he rejoiced in his tribulations. To the glory of God.
Because he knew they were to the glory of God.
Tribulations and trials are given to us to make us strong.
If
we were to lay in bed 24
if we were to
day,
lay in bed
a week, we couldn't get out of bed.
24 hours a day, pretty soon we'd be so weak we couldn't get out of bed.
Our muscles would be so weak.
I don't care what our health was.
Or do anything.
Our muscles would be so weak that we couldn't get out of bed or do anything.
Trials and problems and temptations.
God has given us trials and problems and temptations to make us strong.
Let us praise Him for the victory.
And let us praise Him for the victory over those trials.
I am sometimes afraid that some of you think that I am filled with nothing.
I am sometimes afraid that some of you think that I am filled with nothing but complaints.
Because I know every little problem in
because
this building. Every one of them.
I know every little problem in this building.
And sometimes
every
I'm
one
not
of
too
them.
Bashful about telling about them.
And sometimes I'm not too bashful about telling about them.
But I know.
But I know.
But through the grace and the power of God.
But through the grace and the power of God. That they were overcome.
And He will keep us.
And He will keep
so,
us.
It's not really...
And so,
I pray that it's not,
at least I pray that it's not complaining, but just acknowledging
the things that God has overcome.
The things that God has overcome.
I hope you enjoy your dinner. And the 3 days.
I hope you enjoy your dinner.
We want you to make
and your 3 days here. We want you to make this place
and to feel at home.
Your home.
May the love of God be with you.
And to feel at home.
God bless you.
May the love of God be with you each. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. Once again, I'd like to
thank
remind,
you, Brother Leslie.
Remind you to remember
once again, I'd like to remind remind you to remember the announcements
sign
that about signing the book. Make sure you sign the book when you go downstairs to eat dinner, and sign the number that's in your party. And please refrain from playing in the elevator.
Number 128.
Now let's close our service now with number 128.